Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. I'm your host Ashwin. I'm joined by DJ. DJ, you're traveling right now. We've had some internet connectivity challenges, etc. So this will be a short episode because not a lot has happened. But how are you doing, man? It's been a kind of a weird week of cricket.
Yeah, I'm okay, man. Thanks, Ashwin. Yes, I'm in Berlin this week, the historical city. But it's a weird week, as you say, because we weren't expecting to talk about very much after the Border Gavaskar Trophy finished, other than to say how boring ODI games were, right? And I'm pretty sure you're on the same page as Varun as me, because we kind of glossed over the ODI preview, but it's turned out to be a little bit of a preview of what we might expect in the World Test Championship final, I think, from these Aussie Quicks. As the title says, they have really bullied us in those first two ODI games.
Yeah, so let's talk about the couple of ODIs. I mean, there's a lot happening in the world of cricket as a whole. The WPL is going on. We'll talk a little bit about that. The New Zealand-Sri Lanka series is on. But really, I mean, the reality is exactly as you said, that the Border Gavaskar Trophy finished. We wrapped up the fourth test. I was off last week, as you guys talked. And now we're ready for IPL season, which will go straight into the World Test Championship. So lots of fun happening. The three ODIs feel a little out of place, but Let's get right into it and talk about it. DJ, I know you got a chance to watch the first. I mean, I'll tell you, I wasn't expecting it to be 1-1. I will also tell you the matches started at 3 a.m. my time. So any of our listeners who are Central or Eastern time in the U.S. will commiserate. 3 a.m. is that worst time. I'm too old to stay up that late and watch the first 15, 20 overs. And I'm definitely not quite able. I'm not quite old enough that I wake up at 4 in the morning and start my day. So 3 o'clock is the worst time. But today for the second ODI, at like 6:45 or 7, my eyes opened. I was like, okay, great. Let's see what the end of the first innings is like and what the second will be. And instead, the match is basically over. So I was glad I got some sleep on a Sunday morning. But let's start with that first ODI. India ended up winning by 5 wickets. Australia batted first, got 188 all out. DJ, I know you got a chance to watch this one. I mean, the Mohammad Shami and Mohammad Siraj show, pretty good quick bowling from India to lead us off on what was a spicy pitch in Mumbai, right?
Yeah, it was a great start to the series, I thought. I mean, there was a little bit in it for the Quicks. There was seam movement, there was bounce. And honestly, I mean, Shami just bowled beautifully, supported really well by Siraj. We caught well. I think there was only one catch by Shubman Gill that went down. Rohit wasn't available. So Hardik Pandya captained that game, and Pandya captained while keeping a slip in like the 25th over and stuff and taking wickets that way as well. Obviously, having watched games in Mumbai where South Africa, etc. have scored 350 plus and India have also got big scores, you thought 188 was pretty light, to be honest. Right? Like, in Mumbai is known to be a batting paradise. I remember a T20 game where Joe Root scored 100 against South Africa, seems to come up a lot in Mumbai, chasing down 220 plus against South Africa in the T20 World Cup 2016. So 188 seemed really light, but we missed Varun's favorite figure in all of cricket by one run. It was 16 for 3, not 15 for 3. And man, it was pretty dramatic, actually, in the absence of Rohit, Ishan Kishan played. KL Rahul, interestingly, took the gloves here. So we should talk a little bit about that, because he's got a lot of hate in the test arena, but we should talk a little bit about KL. But at 16 for 3 with Ishan gone, and there was Gill was batting pretty nicely at that point. Kohli was gone after hitting one really nice looking boundary. And Sky was gone first ball, Golden Duck. And it didn't look good at that stage, I have to say, when Pandya joined Gill. And then Pandya went pretty soon, and then Gill got out, and we were 5 down for like 80 odd. And that's probably where I should hand over to you. I've given you the chronological event, but I want to talk to you about KL Rahul's innings like this.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. So obviously, like you said, 188, not quite enough, right? And then in response to 188 to be 16 for 3, obviously, again, says a lot about the pitch and what we had to expect. But yeah, let's talk about it, right? A lot of criticism for KL Rahul, including on this show. But as an ODI number 5, I mean, he showed up 75 off 91 balls. I gotta say, pretty decent strike rate also in a match where he didn't even necessarily need it. And yeah, ably accompanied obviously by Hardik, and then who ended up being the player of the match. I mean, we should be wrapping Ravindra Jadeja in gold or in a blanket or whatever it takes to avoid injury to him. And let's come back to Rahul. Let me just ask you this question. Is Jadeja the first player on the team sheet in all three formats at this point?
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Yeah,
if Sanjay Manjrekar listens to this podcast, we'd love to have you on at some point to talk about the backlash from being called a bits and pieces player. But I mean, he's the first player on the team sheet. How incredible is that?
Yeah, and he was brilliant, actually. I was remiss not to mention his bowling, because he bowled well, took wickets. He caught brilliantly to give Kuldeep a wicket. He caught something at backward point, which is fantastic. He nearly contributed to the first controversy of the series when he wandered out of his crease and Manas Labuschagne had a shy at the stumps, and then they ran an overthrow. And that, I think, would have actually sparked a little bit. I think it's been a fairly quiet series on that front. But yeah, Jadeja, number one on the team sheet for Team India every single time, every single format. Brilliant, brilliant player. And I'm sure the stats will back that up. I mean, often we sit in this show and we just talk from what we feel and what we've seen and what we've felt about how players perform. But I mean, I think Jadeja will have the stats over the last 5-6 years to say that. And I'm pretty sure the ICC rankings will bear this out, that he's one or two in the world when it comes to ODI all-rounder or T20 all-rounder or test all-rounder.
Yeah, I mean, totally fair. I'll pull those up as we're talking. But so then 89 or something for five, I think. 89 for five. When 83 for five, excuse me, when Hardik goes. And from that point, you were a little bit nervous. India seems to have a reasonably long tail. I mean, they picked Shardul for his batting ability, I think. We'll talk about that in a second. But KL Rahul saw at home, right? 75 runs off 91 balls. Jadeja, you know, great partnership, made 45, just fell short of it making a half century. But full credit, right? Full credit to KL Rahul for the ODI performance. Is he, you?
Yeah. But IPL's coming, right? There must be an orange cap somewhere.
Do you think he thought IPL has started? So now orange cap, he's like 75 of 91 is a pretty good T20 strike rate for KL Rahul, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's kind of, he's tuning up a little bit for Lucknow, right? So, but he had a nice six. That was a telling shot, actually. And to be fair, honestly, I mean, like, we're joking around here a little bit. It was a seriously good innings because Stark had his tail up. The Aussie bowlers were bowling well. The bulk of the Indian team was out. KL actually walked in on a hat-trick ball and smoked it through the covers for four. And that was great. What was a little bit worrying was how Gill shaped up against the moving ball, right? And it's the one thing I've always worried a little bit about Gill with his technique of staying leg side of the ball. He was dropped, I think, four or five times, or maybe edged four or five times through the slips at catchable height. And he was dropped like maybe three times. And then finally caught at point. And there was an action replay of that dismissal today. But KL looked confident. So, making a case for the World Test Championship final via this ODI series batting at five, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a seriously good innings.
We always struggle with the multi-format versus single format. Like, do we take form from one format and translate it over to the other? Anyway, good win for Team India. I mean, not a lot else to say, honestly. I think what I'll highlight here is the only, you know, as you talked about the 16 for three odd, Kishan got out to Marcus Stoinis, but then three of our best ODI players on paper, Gill, Kohli, and Yadav, all got out to Mitchell Stark. Left arm swinging bowler, and we've heard this story before with the left arm swinging bowler coming in to torture the Indian top order. But then we went to the second ODI thinking, okay, 1-0. If we can win this, you get to 2-0, give some of your big guys a rest. And the match was in Vishakhapatnam. And like I said, I didn't even get to watch at all any bit of it. I'll watch the highlights after later whenever they're out. But India gets dismissed for 117. I'll highlight a few things, right? Third ball of the match, Mitchell Stark gets Shubman Gill. In his fifth over, he gets Rohit and Sky. In the fifth over of the match, his third. In the ninth over of the match, he gets Rahul. And he ended up bowling, I think, six on the trot to pick up 5 wickets. Eventually ended up going for a few runs. But let me start by asking you about the fact that I thought Crick Buzz or Crick Info, whoever you look at, had made a mistake because I saw Surya Kumar Yadav, LBW be Mitchell Starc, 0 brackets 1, 0 of 1 ball. And I was like, oh, they must have just copy-pasted the previous match. And it turns out they didn't. So what do you say about Surya, right? Like he's probably, if not the first name on the team sheet, like Jadeja in the T20s, he's the second, I would say, on T20s. But has he earned his right in this ODI setup?
Interesting. So this obviously he's playing because Iyer is injured, and so there's no discussion around whether he plays or not, because that may have been the query then. This would have been a great chance for him to like cement and lock down his spot there for the World Cup, right? Upcoming 2023 ODI World Cup. I saw a very interesting tweet by Wisden India actually, which listed his stats in ODI, saying he's not doing well in ODIs. And I find that a very dangerous conversation again. Because you've just mentioned it, right? You've said we tend to conflate formats, form from one format is taken to another. There was all this whole Kohli chatter, T20 ODI test that went on. Now that's done, so you need to find something else to target. What are we trying to get at with that stat? I think it was showing his average and his performance, right? And then we've got a question on screen as well about what do you say about Sky's performance in ODI. What are you trying to get at with that? Does he not know how to play 50 overs? Is that what we're trying to get at? Is he out of form? Is that what we're trying to get at? Because tomorrow, if you have an ODI, sorry, a T20 game, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave Sky out? It's just a conversation for the sake of having a conversation. In my
Sorry,
view, I
just so I'm
mean,
clear, you're not saying he walks into the ODI side, does he? Do you? You're saying he's playing for Iyer right now, but
but I don't think he walks into the ODI. I don't think anybody walks into any Indian side at this
I
point.
mean, I think you could
Right.
argue Sky walks into a T20 side right now.
Yeah. But with these stats, of course he hasn't performed well. But the narrative that you're building is like, what is the narrative that you're building? That he doesn't know how to play T20. He knows how to, he's a king at T20 cricket, number one batter in the world. But he doesn't know how to play 50 over cricket. That makes no sense
I don't
at
think you're
all.
saying he doesn't know how. I think you're saying he hasn't proven that he belongs, right? He
Yeah.
averages 27. He's played 19 innings. He's strikers at 102.6. Like, I'm not saying that he doesn't know
Yeah.
how, but I think it's fair to question if he's earned a spot in the 50-over setup. I think
Yeah.
it's okay to be the best T20 player in the world and not be great at 50-over because it's a different game.
Yeah, well, I find that hard to believe because if you take him and you say, okay, we're going to play him with 20 overs, bat him at 6. He's your best T20 player in the world. Give him 20 overs to play if you don't think he can bat at 4. Right? So I have more sympathy for the argument that a good ODI player can't play T20 well. The punt problem, let's say, right? He's not done well in T20 cricket because he struggles to go from ball one. If you can go from ball one, which is what the current world champions have built their entire brand on, Baz ball, hitting, trying to get to the 500 mark in ODI cricket, how can you then say, how can you question Sky's ability? What I found weird was questioning his ability. His performance hasn't been great. But they play so much cricket and they're fluid between formats. I think, yes, we should treat T20 as a separate format from ODI, but if you're doing well in T20 cricket, there should be no reason why you won't succeed in one day cricket, in my view. I don't know.
So, okay, how about this? This is about as good as a time as I can think of to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, and DJ, you and I are going to unpack this a little bit further. But if this is the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast, don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. DJ, we celebrated our 5-year anniversary a couple of weeks ago. I think you and I disagree on a lot of things. Not that many. We've most predominantly kind of disagreed on MS Dhoni as a finisher, a
Oh,
few of those.
by the
I
way,
do.
have you seen the picture that came
Which
out? The
one?
Chennai Super Kings put up a picture of Dhoni practicing in the nets, and Harsha Bogle tweeted it saying that is it going to be a power game this IPL? Because Dhoni's come out with guns, dude, this year.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. But anyway,
Happy
I think Dhoni is
with
the
that.
last thing we disagreed on. I think on the air for the first time, you and I have disagreed. I see absolutely zero sense or logic in the discussion saying you're a great T20 player, so you should be able to play ODI cricket. It just makes no sense to me. I cannot, like, it's a completely different form. Sky comes out needing to bake 50 off 30, which he's done a couple of times in ODIs, but it is a completely different game to facing Mitchell Starc in a format where you have to build the innings. I understand the point you're saying that it's probably harder to go from the long formats to the shorter. Test cricketers to become ODI, ODI to become T20 maybe, and probably easier to go from being a T20 cricketer to play 50, but I do not think it's easy, and I do not think it's obvious. So that's a really interesting one.
No, it is interesting. And as you said, I'd be interested to see how many of the top 10 ODI batters are also in the top 10 T20 batters. I don't know. I think that's an analysis that could be quite telling in this.
And I mean, I think some of it will be skewed because not like England doesn't play the same sides all that much, etc. I can tell you pretty quickly right now, the top 10 ODI batters are Babar, Rassie van der Dusen, David Warner, Quinton de Kock, Imam ul Haq, Shubman Gill, Virat, Steve Smith, Rohit, and Kane Williamson. Remember all that? The P20,
Okay, roughly, roughly.
Sky, Rizwan, so not two of the same. Then you have Babar Azam, who's won
Yeah,
both lists.
common, yeah.
Devon Conway, Aidan Markram, Mohammad Wasim, David Malan, Riley Rosso, Aaron Finch, Jos Buttler. One guy. So I know some of it I give credit. They're not playing at that much of all the different formats. You have different squads, but anyway.
Interesting. Interesting. No, because I would have thought there'd be a lot more overlap between those two formats. But clearly there
My
isn't.
struggle, actually, in fairness to me, for having been consistent for the last few years, my struggle is that the cricket world tends to see white ball cricket as white ball cricket. And I think that has been India's shortcoming, where white ball cricket is not white ball cricket. They're two very, very different formats. But anyway, if you're listening to this, send us in tweets and email contact at 1to100.com. We'd love to hear from you and hear the perspective. But DJ, there's not actually a lot much not else about this match I'd love to talk about. I mean, 117 all out. Actually, the one I wanted to talk is Akshar Patel, right? So he didn't play the first match, brought him in the second. I mean, should this guy be batting at four? Is he? He's the only
Why
guy
is
who knows
he
how to bat.
always not out?
His average is unbelievable in the last year across formats. Last few months, this series against Australia, his average must be incredible.
It's crazy. And I mean, he seems to manage to stay not out. He hit a couple of sixes towards the end of today as well. But I mean, I think this was India's heaviest defeat in terms of balls remaining ever. Guys, this 121 was chased down. They chased down 117 by scoring 121 in
11
11
over.
overs.
Do we think there
That's
was
ridiculous.
they just needed somewhere else to be? I mean, we played 37 overs of cricket total today. I think obviously there was threat of rain, and so the Aussies did the right thing by trying to get them as quickly as they can. But that's insane to win a match with 39 overs left.
I don't know, man. Like it must be pretty embarrassing, but I guess a lot of their guys are tuning up for the IPL, right? And of course, Mitch Marsh is good signs, right, for the Delhi Capitals.
Yeah, I
He's
mean, I'm not
a DC
complaining.
boy.
It's always weird going from wanting the Aussies to not do well to being a little bit like, yeah, I'd rather the your franchise players do okay. But DJ, one ODI left. I want to double check. I don't know where they're playing. The third one, but you know, Chennai actually, and some pictures started to surface recently of
Oh,
the
yeah.
Chepauk Stadium and stuff. What do you do for that third match? Does it matter that much as you're going into? I don't know how many more ODIs we're going to play between now and the World Cup, but you have to get the combination right?
So I don't know how much they're going to put into this. I think they'll just play a similar team. But you mentioned Chepauk in Chennai. There were big lines for queues. And have you seen the stuff that's out about the ticket collection for the
Apparently,
IPL?
it's all still. Oh, the Chennai ODI is all still physical. There's no
Yeah,
online
and the
collection.
IPL has also got some physical collection at Azad Maidan, apparently. And
Oh,
it's
I
pretty
know.
horribly organized. I don't know why in this day and age we're doing physical tickets. It's ridiculous. But
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
sad.
detour. Chennai, interesting. We've been playing Kuldeep, which has been good. Kuldeep played the first game. I don't know whether he played today, but he definitely played the first game. It traditionally allows for spin, right?
He did. I mean, he did play today, but he got one over because
Yeah,
they had
because he had 11
11.
total. Yeah, that's why I didn't even. He was batting towards the end. Yes, of course, he did play today. He was batting with Akshar at the end. I think so. I'd be interested to see how he goes. Rohit is back. I think it'll be a very similar sort of setup. But again, I don't think they're going to. They'll be more riding on this one because, of course, it's the series finale and like India don't want to lose and etc. But I don't think we're anywhere close to finalizing our playing 11 like we were in 2019. That was a much more set template and format in a way. You had Bhuvi Bumrah. The only question was around number four, who was going to bat, whether it was going to be Vijay Shankar or Ambati
Here
Raidu. Yeah,
comes such
legend.
a long way.
Yeah, so I think we've been in a much more fluid place at this point. I think there'll be injuries. I think there'll be an entire IPL to get through right now, because remember if you get injured during the IPL, of course the spots up for grabs like the keeper spot. So Rahul has been keeping, right? Not Kishan. So we've not given Kishan the gloves. We've said Rahul is going to bat middle order and he's going to keep,
Well, because
and that
Kishan
will be
didn't play,
interesting.
because Kishan didn't play as Rohit came back. Kishan didn't play the second match, right? So Kishan was only in because Rohit was out.
Correct.
And we can spend forever talking about the World Cup squad, which we will do in the lead up. But let me ask you this: if Sky is not walking in at four, and Shreyas Iyer may have, this is my question for you for today, question of the day: is there a world where Shikhar Dhawan walks back into this ODI side somehow?
There's no
But
world in which Shikhar Dhawan
for the
walks back,
last, for
right?
his last hurrah, bring in a lefty up top, bring in the Rohit Shikhar opening combination, play Gill at four, and no, they just dismissed it.
No, because all you'll do is you'll play Kishan at four, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe you'll drop. I can't see how you'll drop Rohit to four, but you'll play
No,
Kishan at
I'm
four.
talking about Rohit and Shikhar. I mean, you don't want to see Rohit Shikhar and Kohli as a top three again for another World Cup?
I'm not
No.
sure, actually. I'm not sure. I think it is time. Of course, Shikhar was a great servant of Indian cricket. But you've made that call in the year prior, and that's fair. And then you give the guys you've got in the mix a chance to do their thing. And I think Rohit, Gill, Kohli, if Iyer isn't in, I think Sky is still the best replacement. I mean, he was playing a test match, for God's sake, like a month and a half ago, replacing Iyer. So I find it very hard to not see him as the natural replacement for Iyer.
Fair enough.
And then Rahul, by the looks of it, will take the gloves. What I'll be interested to see is how he'll cope with the moving ball in England. I mean, Rahul Dravid did the job, right? I think he was a keeper during NatWest, if I'm not wrong. So maybe another Rahul can do the job for the team.
Sorry, you're talking about Rahul having the gloves for the World Test Championship final?
No, for the World Cup. For the
So
World Cup.
World Cup's in India, right?
Oh yeah, sorry,
So
sir.
you're
I went
talking
back to
about,
2019 for a
so you're
minute.
talking
Yeah.
about how does Rahul do against the spinning ball in
I
India, which is also
I'm
quite.
clearly in holiday mode, dude.
I know
I've
you're
like
ready. You're
gone
ready
back in
to.
time to give Rahul the gloves for 2019.
So,
Poor.
all right. Anyway, lots to talk about. We will talk a lot about the World Cup between now and when it starts, obviously. DJ, a lot of other things happening in the world of cricket. The WPL, congratulations to the Delhi Capitals for qualifying officially for the playoffs today, I think based on the math. And congratulations to RCB. My gosh.
For winning a game?
After losing six on the trot, I think it was, for winning two. That's pretty impressive. You have to give them that.
Yeah.
They're actually
And
not at the bottom of
99
the
of
table.
36.
So feel alive.
99 of 36.
What a
Insane.
knock. I mean, how unlucky to lose out on a century after making 99 off just 36 balls, right?
Yeah,
So,
and I mean, when I saw that first, I was like, that she could have equaled Sanath Jayasurya's record, which for years was like 100 of 37 balls.
ridiculous. Would have been unbelievable. So Delhi's qualified, Mumbai Indians have qualified. I think the UP Warriors, Bangalore, and Gujarat have one more, or there's a couple more games There's four games left at the time of recording this. Two doubleheaders coming up to see who else makes it to the eliminators. And then, yeah, some action across the globe in New Zealand, Sri Lanka. Quite pretty shocking and disappointing that after the excitement of potential of that last ball victory that could have sent Sri Lanka or could have made India more nervous about qualifying for the World Test Championship finals. Now Sri Lanka is followed on and likely to lose by a big margin, right? So pretty disappointing. But DJ, Varun is not here yet. He will be back next week. He always says our favorite time of the year is the IPL. It's coming right around the corner. We always do a fantasy league. We do a bunch of stuff. You want to give our listeners a quick rundown of what's going to happen next week and then leading in?
So the IPL starts, I think, on the 29th of March, which is the Friday.
I think it's the 31st.
31st?
Wow.
It's
This is, it's going
next
great so
Friday.
far. Yeah, it's the 31st
Yeah, I've got
Friday.
everything wrong, including putting Sky into the ODI team, clearly. I can't wait to see the comments on that.
I mean,
I'm
I might
sure.
get some hate for it too. Yeah, but anyway, let's keep going.
No, it's all good, man. Like, guys, please do write in with your comments. And if you're watching this, as we tell you every time, like and subscribe, if please do, because that helps spread the good word. Yeah, so what do we do for the IPL? Next week, we will do an IPL preview. That will be a full house. It'll be the three of us. We will run down all 10 teams. Ashwin will try and keep us to time. We will inevitably run over time. So that will be the episode where we look at the strengths and weaknesses, and we sort of highlight one or two X factors to look at on every team. So that is, we call it the ultimate IPL preview, and it is genuinely the ultimate IPL preview. There's a bit of preparation that goes into it and stuff. So it's very cool. We will also hopefully have, fingers crossed, some players coming on during the IPL. Let's see how that works. We're in a few discussions at the moment. We do a fantasy league where Ashwin is like the driving force behind that. So he'll put the link out on that. So the best thing to do is to play from day one, because otherwise you're behind everyone.
I would have loved to have the link out. Everybody's starting to think about it. The site is not live. It'll probably be live just to set expectations on the 30th late night or the 31st morning, right before the first ball is bowled. But just stay ready and keep your team going. Like, get your team built up when as soon as it's live, and then you can join the Edges and Sledges League. Yeah.
Yeah, and we should see if we can do some prizes and stuff this time as well, because I know we did some t-shirts last time, so that would be quite cool. Again, no promises. We're still working through all of this stuff. And obviously, we aren't a professional podcast. We are fans like you, so everything takes a bit of time. And then, yeah, we will do an episode every week covering the games of the week, the highlights of the week's play, the highs, the lows. Of course, we are Delhi Capitals fans, so we will be tracking that team throughout its journey. David Warner's been made captain. We
Yeah,
didn't talk
that's
about
huge, actually. We did not talk about it with Akshar Patel as his deputy.
that. Yeah. So that's big news. Had a nice statement from Warner. Clearly, that the leadership ban that the Australians have imposed on him doesn't apply to the Indian Premier League. So I would be interested to see how we play under David Warner. Also, Pant. There was a video of him walking in the pool. There was
Yeah.
a photo that Yuvraj put up with Pant saying he's a fighter and stuff. It was really great to see, actually. I think let's not forget that he's been a massive part of our. It feels like he's been a massive part of not only Indian cricket but our lives, Ashwin, where we've talked and talked about Rishabh Pant constantly and seen him grow into that larger than life character that he is from. After getting all the abuse for supporting him in his early years. So
Absolutely.
anyway.
Right. Very
Yeah.
exciting. IPL season's coming up. It should be great. It'll be tough to watch for the Delhi fans without Rishabh Pant, but we know he'll be wishing well from the sidelines, and hopefully he'll be back before we realize it. That brings us to a wrap. DJ 1-1. I think regardless of who wins the next match, unless there's a rain delay, we'll have another India-Australia series ended to 2-1. I heard you guys talk about that last week. So another 2-1 scoreline.
At
And
least you hear the episode. I
at
thought
least
that
I
was
listen to the
great.
podcast. Better than Varun. We'll see. If he hears this, then he can send us both
No
messages. But
chance.
there's
No
no way he does.
chance.
All
He,
right.
where's he partying, by the way? He's also on holiday somewhere.
Yeah, he's traveling to Vietnam. So they have a week off. So very exciting for him.
Nice.
All right. That brings us to a wrap. Guys, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next week. As always, One Tip One Hand on all the social medias. Contact at onetiponehand.com. And we'll see you next week for our IPL preview and hopefully a celebration of India winning another bilateral, but that remains to be seen. Thanks everybody for joining. We will see you next week.